Picture yourself stuck in traffic, late for an important meeting. Your heart races, your jaw clenches, and frustration floods your body. Now, imagine that same situation through the eyes of a Roman emperor who commanded legions, a slave who owned nothing, and a statesman who counseled tyrants, all of whom found perfect peace in circumstances far more challenging than yours. Over 2,000 years ago, a philosophy emerged that transformed how people related to suffering, success, and everything in between. Stoicism wasn't born in ivory towers, but in the messy reality of ancient Athens around 300 BCE, reaching its zenith through three extraordinary Romans: Seneca, the wealthy advisor who navigated Nero's madness; Epictetus, who rose from slavery to become philosophy's most practical teacher; and Marcus Aurelius, who ruled an empire while seeking inner tranquility. What they discovered continues to resonate because it addresses something timeless: the gap between what we can control and what we desperately wish we could. This wasn't abstract philosophy, but practical wisdom forged in the crucible of real adversity, offering tools for navigating life's inevitable challenges with grace and resilience. Epictetus called philosophers physicians for the soul, a recognition that mental health determines quality of life far more than external circumstances. We measure success through salary, titles, and home size, but Stoics argued these markers create false security while leaving our inner lives impoverished. Socrates showed that wealth is morally neutral. Money in a fool's hands brings destruction, while modest means, managed wisely, support dignity. Diogenes lived in a barrel to prove happiness requires nothing external. Zeno charted a middle path, calling things like health and wealth preferred indifference, naturally desirable, but not true goods. Genuine good consists only of virtue, wisdom, justice, courage, and moderation. These represent the perfection of human nature through reason and ethical action. When we fall out of harmony through vice or misaligned values, unhappiness follows. The philosopher doctor offers remedies through careful diagnosis of mental habits and prescribed exercises: morning preparation, evening review, meditation on mortality, and rehearsal of adversity. Epictetus, drawing from his experience as a slave, offered revolutionary insight. We control only our judgments, impulses, and desires. Everything else lies beyond our command. Our unhappiness stems from believing we control what we don't. While we can't control external events, we have complete mastery over our judgments about them. Facing job loss, you can't control the company's decision, but you can control your response, viewing it as catastrophe or opportunity. As Epictetus advised, approach life like an actor in a play. You haven't chosen your role, but you can play your part excellently. This doesn't mean abandoning goals or becoming passive. It means distinguishing between process and outcome. You control your interview preparation, but not whether you're hired. Focus intensely on what's within your power while maintaining a light grip on results. The Stoics offered a radically different perspective on emotions. They're products of our judgments, not inevitable forces. Seneca outlined three stages: involuntary physiological reactions, beyond control; judgments in response, within our control; and resulting emotions, once formed, difficult to control. The key lies in challenging the impression that harm occurred. As Epictetus noted, it is not enough to be hit or insulted to be harmed. You must believe that you are being harmed. Seneca's turbulent life exile, his son's death, service to Nero, forced suicide, taught him adversity isn't merely bearable but beneficial. In On Providence, he argues we should welcome difficulties as training. Just as wrestlers improve facing tough opponents, challenges develop virtues. Excessive good fortune makes us lazy, complacent, ungrateful, and greedy. We choose whether events become disasters or opportunities. Seneca recommended premeditation of future evils. Mentally rehearsing challenges reduces their emotional impact. Modern research on post-traumatic growth confirms many develop strength through hardship. The Stoics cultivated cosmic perspective by contemplating how tiny human life is within vast time and space. Marcus Aurelius imagined viewing Earth from above, seeing how minuscule our concerns are. Stoics viewed nature as an ordered living organism, with humans as parts, governed by rational principle they called God, not supernatural, but nature itself. Accepting fate, the chain of cause and effect, is essential, yet not passive, since our actions contribute to this larger natural system. This cosmic viewpoint provides comfort through context, cultivates humility, and encourages acceptance of natural processes beyond our control. Remember that you will die. This memento mori reminder appears throughout Stoic writings, not as morbid obsession, but as clarifying perspective. Epictetus insisted, we never say, I lost something, but rather, I returned it. He's blunt. You are a fool to want your children, wife, or friends to be immortal. It calls for powers beyond you. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself, you could leave life right now. Let that determine what you do and say and think. This wasn't to induce panic, but to cut through trivial concerns. If today were your last, would you spend it angry about traffic or scrolling mindlessly? Modern research confirms people who've confronted mortality report greater appreciation, clearer priorities, and less concern with superficial matters. Try this Stoic exercise. Each morning, remind yourself you have no guarantee of seeing evening. Each evening, recognize you may not wake. This practice transforms your relationship with time, making every moment count. The Stoics valued healthy emotions like parental love, while avoiding destructive ones like anger and excessive attachment. They recognized emotions as judgments, not inevitable reactions, giving us power to examine our interpretations and choose aligned responses. Chrysippus compared emotions to running downhill. Once momentum builds, stopping becomes nearly impossible, showing why prevention beats control. When asked about handling his brother's anger, Epictetus replied, "Nothing. We control only our reactions, not others' emotions." Create an inventory of concerns, separating controllable from uncontrollable. For controllable items, develop action plans. For uncontrollable ones, practice acceptance. When facing challenges, ask, "Is this within my power?" If yes, take action. If no, ask, "How might this difficulty be training me?" This reframing transforms passive suffering into active growth, creating profound inner freedom, the ability to remain steady regardless of external turbulence. Seneca captured Stoicism's essence. Nature's intention is that there should be no need of great equipment for a good life. Every individual can make himself happy. Prosperity does not elevate the sage, and adversity does not depress him. This philosophy proved remarkably durable. Seneca remained widely read through the Middle Ages, Epictetus's handbook was adapted for medieval monks, and Marcus Aurelius's Meditations became a Victorian bestseller. Modern cognitive behavioral therapy draws heavily from Stoic principles, with founder Aaron Beck explicitly acknowledging this debt. Since 2012, over 20,000 people have participated in experiments testing Stoic living, showing improved well-being. Contrary to stereotypes, the character trait that increases most is zest, energy, and enthusiasm for life. Modern Stoic practices include morning and evening reflections, negative visualization, imagining loss to increase gratitude, the view from above, gaining cosmic perspective, and journaling. As Epictetus warned, if you didn't learn these things in order to demonstrate them in practice, what did you learn them for? In our uncertain world, Stoicism offers a tested framework for navigating life with grace, courage, and tranquility. Your next moment of frustration is your next opportunity to practice. Will you be swept away by forces beyond your control, or will you stand firm in the one domain that's truly yours, your response?